Welcome to God Week, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8 through 10. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him. Make music to praise Him. Meditate on all the miracles He has done. Brag about His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Listen as the producers of every broadcast during this week will be proclaiming the greatness of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Meanwhile, shows teaching the Torah portion for this week will still air their teachings. Can you talk about God for 1 hour? Thank you for listening to God Week on the Messianic Lamb Radio, promoting a lifestyle of hope.
Mark David Smith here, and this is a time, used to be a few months ago, up until a few months ago, that the show Remnant Radio with Nitza Moshe aired at this time, and Nitza has been kind of on a hiatus. We played a few of her past episodes or archives for a while, and Nitza's going to be starting up here real soon, so we decided that we are going to just have her on. The only thing is her internet's down right now, so we're going to give her a call and bring her in by phone so that we can do an hour together here on God Week. So, Nitza.
Hello.
Hi, Nitza. I was just telling everybody about your show that was up until a couple of months ago, and then you've been a little bit on hiatus, so we played some of your archives, and you're coming back here real soon. So we were excited to have you at least come in before you get back, and a part of God Week is you are one of the original producers here on Lamb Radio. So we're excited to have you.
Well, I'm excited to be back. If we can just get the satellite working, we'll be fine.
Well, you know what? I know a God that can do that.
Amen.
You got anybody praying for that?
I am. I haven't been able to tell hardly anyone except for you.
No, I'll guarantee you, I get the word out, and you'll be. Is there a possibility that you can be over covered in prayer?
No, absolutely not.
Good answer. That's the answer I was looking for. So, I'm just completely solid in knowing that everything's going to go fine. We'll get you back on. And so you're supposed to start next week?
Yes, we weren't going to start till the 14th, but we feel like we have so much to cover on the show that we're going to be doing on chemtrails and how we're all infected. And we actually want to talk about things that you physically can do, and especially emotionally, to not accept this and fight it.
Amen. So. Well, good. We're praying everything goes well, and this will all happen. So I tell you what, this week is absolutely amazing. And believe it or not, this is the last show that I'm doing for God Week. I think this, I don't even know, I've been kind of trying to count them. This is the 16th or 17th hour show I've done this week with the producers. So it's been amazing, absolutely an amazing week. And, you can put something like this together, as you very well know, and you never really know how it's going to work out. Even, conferences and congregation meetings and stuff like that, you plan certain things and you just never know how it's going to work until you actually do it. And I am telling you, Nitza, this week has been absolutely amazing with all that all the producers have come up with. Of course, everybody has their own characteristics, personality, their attributes, you know, they're the different personalities of the different producers here on Lam Radio. Obviously, we all look at God different, and to talk about God from everybody's perspective has just been wonderful, absolutely wonderful. So you're last in line.
But not the least.
Absolutely not the least. Oh, actually, tomorrow night is the last one. I'm teaching the Torah portion, Toledot, at B'nai Messianic Congregation tomorrow night, and it'll be broadcast here. And a part of that would be literally some of the things that I've come up with here for God Week, which works right into Isaac, which is a father and two sons, and I'm going to apply the correlate the prodigal son, another father and two sons, and that type of thing. So I'm excited about it. It's all a part of God Week.
Awesome. So what are we going to talk about tonight?
Let's talk about God. What do you think?
Yeah. It's a good thing. I have an awesome testimony to share. What he's done in the last 7 days.
That's talking about God. So what's up?
Well,
what's happened?
Is it okay to start?
You've got it. Let's go with it.
Okay. Well, let's see. About a week ago yesterday, I went to the local cooperative food co-op, and there was a lady there that had this wonderful countenance, and I really noticed her also because of the differences in cultures up here. We're mostly white Anglo-Saxons here in the Northwest. And so when we get, other people, although we see quite a few of them in the college town where I go, but I was really taken aback by how wonderful she was and her countenance. And she was a volunteer with the co-op. And she was sharing with people about lentils. And there was these incredible lentil brownies there. And since I'm not supposed to have gluten anymore, I was really interested. And as we were talking, she started sharing about how lentils were so great to store and they were great for preparation. And some of the things she said, I could tell that she was from the South, because only people in the South really care about bugs. The people in the Northwest, we don't have too many bugs and it's dry. And so we got on this conversation, and in passing, she said, "Well, I'm a believer." And I don't remember what I said, but I said something. And she turned around and she looked at me and she goes, "You believe in the Most High and Yehoshua." And I was like, yes. And wow. So we exchanged numbers, and, she was very busy, and she did ask me to pray for her. And I could tell by her request, it was pretty serious for her and her family. Well, then Sunday, I get this phone call from her, and she barely knew me. She called me, and she says, "Do you know of any place where we can go as believers for help?" She said, "We don't go to a congregation. We don't have food stamps. We don't, do the 501c3. There's no churches and that we can bring ourselves to go back into. And because we're believers in Torah, then we don't know where to go. And we don't have congregations." And so for a lot of you people out there listening, please understand there are hundreds and thousands of us all over this country that live in rural, very, very rural settings. And even when you go to the local town or city, there are no Jewish synagogues or Messianic centers or Hebrew places of worship. And so, like, for this area, for about 6 hours where I'm at between Washington, Idaho, and Montana, to get together, we drive 1 to 4 or 5 hours for Sabbath or feast.
Wow.
Okay? We don't have the luxury that a lot of other people have, but at the same time, we have the luxury, I believe, of learning how to live a more rural cropland agriculture society. And many of us believe that one day y'all from the cities are going to be coming to us, and we're hoping that we're prepared to help you and take you in. And so that's kind of the setting. So she asked me, "Do you know of any place?" And I said, "Well, no, not really. I don't know of a particular place." I said, "But I can send my little feelers out and find out what can be done." And so, but as soon as I hung up the phone, I knew what we had to do. What had happened is her husband had lost his job, which, you know, is familiar with a lot of us. And he had gotten another job, but their vehicle had broken down. And they didn't want to lose the job that he had now, so they took the money that they had for the entire month for groceries to fix the car. So now they have no groceries and no diapers for, and one of her children is has Asperger, like kind of like autism, and so they have extra needs. And as soon as she didn't, you know, she didn't beg, she didn't plead. She just very matter of fact that, you know, I don't even want money. If someone could just give me a grocery card or a box of diapers, that we would just be so appreciative, and we would love to be able to find a network and give back, you know, when other people have a need. So I hung up, and I immediately knew in my spirit that this woman was probably much more in need than she was expressing with her fortitude. And so I went to my husband. I said, honey, this is what we got to do. And on one hand, it's like, who needs to do this? Because, you know, we have our own issues here from what we've gone with the job loss and everything. But we knew what we had to do. So we got in our car. We drove 30 miles away. And we had to go to her house three times before she was finally there. Come to find out, she was out volunteering at the co-op so she could earn some hours to get some discount on groceries. Anyway, long story short, 3-4 hours later, we finally get her. We give her and bless her so that they can get what they need for groceries and stuff. And on the way home, in the pitch black dark, we're going down the highway, and we had just slowed down for a deer. And right after that deer was a huge tree that was all the way across the road. We could not stop in time. We couldn't go to the left. We couldn't go to the right. Even if we could have gotten around the tree, there's a ditch ravine on both sides. And so I screamed, of course, and all I could see was this tree from one side of the road to the other side of the road. And the next thing I know, there was kind of like this opening in the middle, and we were running over these branches, and we pulled over the side. And I thought, because of what I heard, there would be scratches all up and down the left and right, and we were just amazed and shocked that we didn't have a head-on with the tree. So we look underneath the car, and it took the thing up off the front of the car. I don't know what you call it, some kind of cover. It was dragging. We had to take it off. But there were no scratches on the car. Nobody in the car was hurt. We were like, oh, my goodness, we've got to go back because, you know, about every 10 minutes or hour or two, a car will show up, and they will not see this tree until they're on top of it. So we turned around. We went back through we discovered there was a hole in the middle. Well, we thought that maybe the tree had just snapped in the middle. We didn't know. But we could move one half of the tree off of one half of the road, and we could move all the branches. But the other half of the road, we could not move the tree. It was way, way too big. And we did stop a car. We flashed them down that was coming and warned them. And then we sat there and prayed, like, well, we can't do this all night. So we were only a mile from home, so we went home, we got a chainsaw, went back, thank goodness no one had hit the tree, cut the tree up, and actually also miraculously we had gotten phone service out there, cell phone service, which we do not get in this area. And we got cut off, but they did get the message that there was this tree. Well, by the time my husband got through cutting the tree up enough to move it off the road and me and my sons cleared off the road, the highway patrol showed up. And so that goes on, right? So the next day I wake up and I realize, I didn't even notice until I woke up, that we had already slowed down because the deer had run out in front of us. Thank Yahweh for his creatures. Number two, I found out that afternoon that a semi-truck had already hit the tree. It had run through the middle of the tree, and that's why there was a broken opening for us. And the truck driver was fine. And I just can't tell you how, like, oh, my goodness, he totally saved us out of that. And what was really interesting about it, too, was as I reflected on it, was my mouth was screaming because I knew there was no way we could miss this. But on the inside, I was at peace, and I was just thinking, this is the way I'm going to leave? I'm going to hit a tree. But there was a peace, and it just made me realize, oh my goodness, I'm not scared to die. You know, I might be scared about the process of how to get there, but and it was just so like, oh my gosh, your life could change so quickly in such an instant. And now let me tell you, I just got some more of the story just a couple of hours ago, because we couldn't move all of our farming homestead equipment in Montana when we moved. We had left a tractor with some friends, and they called me today in distress because on that same day that that tree fell across that road, five trees fell on their property 6 hours away and destroyed our tractor. Now, I'm laughing, okay, because I know the enemy is pretty upset with what happened, and we have also from Virginia, Canada, Florida, South Carolina, Wisconsin, Oregon, Washington, have gotten donations for this family. And I believe because Father wants to do more than just what their need immediately was, but to help restore some of the things that they have lost, to show them that he loves them and he knows that they have been faithful. And so now I'm laughing because I have no tractor. But I just want to say how awesome he is, and his protection and his provision is incredible.
Wow. Wow. That is a wonderful story. You always have great stories. You really
I can't help it. I serve a great God.
You do. But, you know, it's interesting. On the last show, Faithful to the Truth, Oksana and Boaz Eliyahu, one of the things that we were discussing was James, the book of James, were counted all joy when you go through different tests, because the testing of your faith produces patience, perseverance, you know, and the whole thing. And, mm-hmm. You know, each and every one of us do, each and every one of us go through situations, but sometimes we put ourselves in situations too, you know, that the Lord doesn't necessarily have to test us with. We're perfectly fine in getting ourselves in trouble by ourselves, you know, and the yeah. the understanding that the Lord works with us in these ways. But how amazing that this, you know, I definitely do believe that you would have been, the Lord would have spared you. You're not ready to go. Your family's not ready to go. But also the idea of your helping and going out of your way to help this woman and her family and everything, you know, it's just that much more. Well, you know, obedience produces the blessings. That's yeah. all there is to it. And you're just obedient to the Lord. I know that you're a nice, kind person anyway, Nietzsche. No matter what, you're a good person, but you're a good person and do these things because of the Lord. And you want to bless the Lord and bless others by doing these things. And once again, it's obedience produces the blessing. And so that's all there is to it. It's absolutely.
Amen. And she, you know, in 2 weeks, there's going to be an area-wide meeting. So she's going to get to go find all these other ones that are spread out in a couple of weeks. So their family's going to get to hopefully plug in to this loose, wide sure. area network of believers wow. that we do have. So that will be, you know, that'll be exciting.
Well, how amazing is it, though, that you met this woman just out of the blue that's also loving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? You know, I mean, where you're at, I don't know the odds of that, but these days...
Well, I live in a town of 500 people. Guess what the odds are?
Well, it's not uncommon, though. I will say, I mean, we've done it too. And why should we be surprised that the Lord would bring us together with like-minded people? We shouldn't be surprised. We should be excited and thrilled and happy that it happens. Mm-hmm. But I honestly, anymore, I just don't even believe that we should be surprised at that. It's like, thanks, Lord. You know, you're sure faithful at doing this.
Right.
You know, I don't know if you've ever heard the story. It's really kind of along those same lines of meeting somebody that the way that our family even got started in understanding Torah and the Messianic lifestyle at all was that I went to Israel on a tour by myself. Matter of fact, my wife paid for my way to go to Israel to go on a tour to, but it's a Bless Israel tour. We went to specific places to pray, you know, for Israel. And it was a Christian tour, but, you know, this is back before I had ever even heard the word Torah or Yeshua or Messianic or anything like this. And I went over for a couple of weeks. Yeah, we did kind of the regular tour, but we went off and did, you know, specific places to pray for Israel. And along that that tour, I met there was actually five people out of 31 of us that was from a Messianic congregation. And the cantor of that congregation and I became very good friends right away the first day. And in the evenings, we would go to each other's hotel room and, you know, talk and get to know each other. And he found out I was a hellfire and damnation preacher and all of this. And so, of course, he's already well into the Messianic lifestyle and studying Torah and everything and teaching it. And so he would ask me specific questions, you know, about doctrines like Trinity and that type of thing. And of course, he'd say, so teach me about this, show me this, you know, this doctrine, what you believe. And I'd take him to the New Testament and he would, you know, he'd listen to everything I had to say. And then at the end, he'd say, okay, now go to the Old Testament and show me out of there, you know, what all this means. I said, well, it's there, but what you need to understand is what's in the New Testament. And he goes, no, let me show you. And pretty soon, you know, he's showing me and I'm just blown away. It's like I had no idea that, you know, all this was there and I could find it for myself and study it and learn it. And so anyway, I called Donna from Israel and said, when we get back, our lives are going to change because I'm searching out something that I've found out here. And oh, by the way, did you know his name is actually Yeshua? And Donna says, yeah, I know. I've known it for a long time. It's like, honey, come on. So, you know, anyway, I get back and, of course, we search it out the best that we can. We live in Southeast Kansas. Kind of, it's not as rural as what your where you're living, but this was 18 years ago. And mm-hmm. So it's like nobody in our area, as far as we're concerned, or how to search that out, no internet, that kind of thing. You know, how are you going to find people of like-minded faith and all of this? Anyway, very long story short, this happened. I actually went to Israel for the Feast of Tabernacles, which I had no idea in the world what that was, but the International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem was putting it on like they do every year. And anyway, so I get back and we're doing our very best through the winter. And in springtime, we love to go out to a local lake near a very, very small town. And when it gets nice enough to go out there, and Donna and I and my daughter would go out and kind of swim around a little bit. And we did it on a Sabbath. We were relaxing, so we went out and we're floating in the water and we're singing Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, you know, on and on. And this little boy, about 6 years old, 5 or 6 years old, comes floating by and stops. And he says, so do you guys know Sabbath or Shabbat? And we're like popped up and say, yes, do you? And he goes, oh, yeah. And then he just floats off, goes up to the shore, and goes up the beach. And we're like freaked out. It's like, who is this? This is a little boy. What is this deal? So we get out of the water and go up to our towels. And his mother and sister come walking over and said, we could hear you singing Shabbat Shalom out in the water. And come to find out, this was not very far away, within just a few miles away. They lived and knew many, 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 many people in the area that were messianic, and they taught, and they knew other people that taught, and God just opened it up out of nowhere for us to now be involved in a messianic community, go learn Torah and the whole thing. And we just happened to go float around in a lake one day singing Shabbat Shalom. So there's the Lord for you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, isn't it though? It's like, you just have to have peace about it and have the hope that he is going to bring you into all understanding, and he is going to make a way for this to happen, whatever needs to happen for you. And that's what God Week is all about, is to hearing the testimonies and hear people, read scriptures and give their own perspective of who God is and what God is and what he is in their lives and that type of thing. And it's just been absolutely amazing. And I know you know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Anitza, and he has done extremely vital works in your life and your family's lives, and it's just amazing. He is a great and mighty God, is he not?
Amen. Well, kind of like what you're talking about in the book of James, and about how trials produce all this fruit in your life. And for me, probably one of my favorite verses is, it's good for my soul that I've been afflicted that I might learn your statutes and your Torah. And because it wasn't that I've always been looking for him since I was seven, but I never knew anybody who lived and walked the life until I was much older, and I would look for him. And I still actually, when he found me and changed me, I was actually upset for many years as to why didn't you do that before? Because it's not like I wasn't looking and asking. And the only thing I can figure in my little pea brain is that he knew what it would take to get 100%, or at least near the desire of 100% obedience, would be after he whooped me really bad. So. But one of the things that I have always found amazing about him for me personally is the greatest trials in my life, he has always warned me about ahead of time and spoken to me. And, there was a point at one time in my life when I was really, super close to him. It was, the honeymoon time. And I remember saying to myself, if I just knew what he wanted exactly in my life and the details, I would obey him. But unfortunately, I was not aware of the hidden areas in my flesh and my life. And he heard me say that, I'm sure. And he warned me about this horrible thing that took many years of my life and where I went through the crucible. And he did specifically tell me, as I was about to enter into this trial, he speaks to me oftentimes through dreams, and he told me the person, what they did, what their name was, what they did for a living. He went through the whole gamut, and he told me, this will be your temptation. And I was angry because I had served him, I had sacrificed for him, I had put up with persecution, I had been humiliated. My whole family and my whole life was attacked. And my response was that I reached the mountain each time. And every time I got up there, I found out he required more. And I became bitter because I was confused. I didn't know covenant. And I thought, this is the way he takes care of me, you know? And he allowed me for 2 weeks to walk away from him and the Holy Spirit. And I wanted to, after the 2 weeks, I wanted to repent. And you have to understand, I'm a very self-sufficient, proficient person, have been in the past, not anymore. I laugh about it now, but, you know, if I was the type of person that if you had a problem, too bad, get over it, pull your bootstraps off, you know, up, excuse me. I was a military brat. Okay. That was my perception of a father. And, you know, my biological father, I never met. My adopted father was very strict, and there was some, you know, major issues. And so that was my idea, that I had to be perfect. If I brought home a report card and it was an A minus, it was, how come you don't have an A plus? And so this was, you know, my attitude. You know, I was a good hard worker. That's all you really needed. I believed in God. What more do you want? But it wasn't until he took me through this thing that I learned. He showed me when I went to repent, but I knew I couldn't repent for the first time in my life. I was not capable. I knew I wanted to, but I knew it was a futile attempt because my old habits would return. And for some reason, the enemy had me convinced that I was forgiven for everything before I got saved and committed to him, but I wasn't forgiven for anything that happened after. And so I had this epiphany moment where I told the Father, I want to repent, but for the first time in my life, I'm not capable of doing it and keeping the promise because I know I'm too weak. And the Holy Spirit returned to me at that moment, and I was angry because I was supposed to be punished for what I had done. And then he showed me this person who did all these things that he used as the vessel to bring me into a very close relationship with him. So I praise him for that person. But he showed me that person is not on the side of grace. You're on the side of grace, and it's not because you put yourself there, it's because that's where I put you. And from that moment on, my life changed because now I understood weakness. I understood grace. And it wasn't me. It wasn't what I did. And so, of course, he wasn't through with the trials. But when you go through trials, for instance, when you lose a job or you lose provision, you know, we complain about these fires and these trials. But the bottom line is this. You really know, you yada, you know who he is. You know that he's your provider. You know he's your comforter. It's not something that's just in your head. It's in your heart, and that brings freedom and liberty for when you go to your next trial or your next mountain. You have a history with him, and you know that he is more than able, and if he wants to deliver you, he will. And he may not always deliver you until he's through firing you in the fire, till he is reflected through you. And so I just tell people, you know, we all say we want to hear him and we'll do whatever he says or wants. But the bottom line is the worst thing that can happen to us is that we don't even know or hear his voice to begin with. And so I just encourage people, you need to seek him. You cannot resurrect yourself. He has to resurrect you. And this is why we're in desperate need of him. And this is what he requires for us to be contrite and humble and acknowledge that he's the creator. He is the cause and origin of all things. And if we are walking in any pride or self-sufficiency, even if it's a good Christian messianic belief, it's not depending on him and walking in his power, but in our own power. Did I lose you?
No, not at all. I'm...
Sorry.
No, I don't want to speak there. For you. Actually, you're speaking for me. It's all that there is to me to not try to do things in my own power. I mean, even no everybody, oh, Mark Smith, he owns Lamb Radio, a very spiritual station. And, you know, what a man of God. And, wow, we are so blessed to be a part of this. Mark, you have done such a great work. I'm going to tell you what, I'm the lowliest of all of you. Because, you know, I mean, I have a relationship with God, but Nitza, one of the reasons, and I've said this actually many times this week, one of the reasons for having God week is because a lot of this is for me. I want to hear what other people have to say, people that I trust and respect and I know have integrity, because those are the people that I bring on Lamb Radio. Every person that is on Lamb Radio, I personally asked them to be on Lamb. There's only been one person that asked me. I let that person on. They are no longer on here, and I regretted it from the minute I let that happen. I did not listen to the Lord. I went ahead and did it. But Mark Smith is not what everybody thinks he is or whatever they think he is. I have been at extreme low places, and I'm doing very well now. I'm okay, but I need to know God. I need to talk about God. My most intimate times, my best times of praying is telling God who he is. Because mm-hmm. when we tell God who he is, it tells us who he is. It's his personality, his attributes and characteristics that should be our attributes and characteristics, and we should have his personality. So I want to hear, because everybody has a different perspective, I was saying at the very beginning, you know, I want to hear this. And I mean, I'm the one that's blessed this week because I get to hear every single minute of every single show that we're doing this week. There's three or four extra shows that I'm not on because they don't have the ability to do, but they've done special shows, and I have not yet heard all of them, but I'm saying, tomorrow night I'm teaching Toledot. And I'm applying it to the prodigal son. A few weeks back, month or so back, I heard a Christian teaching on the prodigal son, and it broke me. It literally broke me. The prodigal son, the one that left home, he was tied to his father. He left. He literally left. And he came back. It's what people think is what the prodigal son's all about, but it's not. Both sons were very worldly. Both sons did not have a spiritual relationship with their father. The other son was very into himself and complained and griped about, you know, what happened with his brother and what his father did with him. And there are spiritual and physical people that are adhering to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with having a physical, and it doesn't sound right, but you can have a literally physical relationship with the Lord in that you work for the Lord and you let the Lord guide you and you do what he wants you to do. But then there are people that are spiritual. See, I think that's the difference between Jacob and Esau. Esau was that physical person still attached to the Lord, but Jacob was spiritual from his mother's womb, and that's why that's why God prophesied. God prophesied. And look at Jacob. Look what happened to him. People say that he manipulated his way into the blessings. It's not true at all. Keep on reading. Esau was just as manipulative. And, you know, I mean, Jacob even got a second blessing from his father. You know,
go ahead. His wrestling with the Lord when he said, I want you to bless me.
Right.
I think it's because he wanted a definite affirmation that he was blessed, and it's not because he took it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
Whether he did or didn't, he wanted it to be so solid. Because, you know, can you imagine how much the enemy beat him up in his mind? Well, you took your brother's inheritance. You know what I mean? Yeah, and so he was like, you know, whether he did or didn't, which I don't think he really did either, but it's like he wanted to know for himself, Yadah, that he got the blessing, and he was willing to fight for it and be crippled for it,
right?
Because he wanted Father to affirm that and let the nations know that he didn't just come and supplant it himself. You know, I mean, you can't thwart the plan of Yahweh. He's going to accomplish what he wants.
Sure. I understand.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. No. That's you're absolutely right. I'm with you on that. There's a few variations, and like when I'm correlating, you know, the prodigal son story there, I also only have one brother. So I have the same situation of a father and two sons. And so I can really kind of picture it in the same way. The older son and the prodigal son was a very physical and had a physical relationship with his father, where the younger son did have a more spiritual relationship. My older brother has a very physical relationship with my father. My father and him are very, very close. I've never been very close to my father, but I was raised more by my mother, and I have a spiritual relationship with the Lord. I'm not so much physical. Yet, we can walk away and switch places with our relationship with the Lord. And it doesn't mean that we're not still within that inheritance and still within those blessings. But yet, when we walk away, we have to know who we are in the Lord. And that's what God is all about. We're talking about God here. That's what God is all about, is that he is there. He's ours. His name. Oh, I'm giving away my sermon here, but we do have that inheritance, and that's what it's all about. It says Esau despised his inheritance, you know, and it's easy for us not to walk in that way. It's so easy for us if we don't stay solid with the Lord, if we don't know the Lord, if we can't talk about the Lord, if we can't talk about the Lord to the Lord, how are we going to talk about him in public to the people that don't know him? You know, I mean, I can go on and on, obviously.
Hey, let me share something with you. I was talking last May to a group.
I can't wait to get over there and get going. But
I was talking to a group. You know how people pick, you know, how people in the Messianic community, they all fight and argue about, you know, do you say his name? Do you not say his name? How do you say it? Blah, blah, blah. Okay. So I'm speaking to these, primarily a group of Christians, patriots. But there were a few Messianics there. And a couple of them I knew, and the other ones, of course, I didn't know. I just assumed they were with the patriotic Christian group. And so I was teaching, and you know, when I speak, usually almost in every situation, especially with Christians, I will say I will say Father told me this or Father told me that. Plus, I also think maybe I'm safe with the Jews, I'm safe with the Messianics, I'm safe with, you know, in sacred namers, whatever. If I just call him Father. Well, after I was speaking, I had someone come up to me and say, "Are you Messianic?" And I said, "Well, yeah." And
we've had this discussion.
You know, I don't like that word, but yeah, you know. So I said, "Yeah." And she goes, "Well, I really had a hard time with you saying you speak to the Father, or the Father told you this, or the Father told you that, because I think that you should have said the Father." And I'm like, seriously, you know, like, I didn't say the Father, you know, because she thought it was like, well, you know, we all have fathers and there's different gods. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I guess I could see your point, but, you know, who else would I have been talking about? And if you're a believer, didn't you get who I was talking about? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I just thought, oh my goodness, they can pick on me for anything. But, you know, the point is he's my father. And if you had any idea about my physical relationships with fathers on earth, right, you know, do you know how much work and pain and working it out, it got to, I know who my father is, and it doesn't matter what or who my earthly father is. Anyway, I was abhorred by that at one hand, and the other hand, I was trying to understand. She was upset because I didn't say the father. And granted, I understand we don't have enough respect for him. But I don't know. I just felt like she was taking the essence of what or who I was or am or whatever with the father. And, you know, and I guess, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but it hit me the wrong way.
No, I'm with you on it. And this is, I've actually said this several times this week, is that I've been in ministry for over 30 years of my life. I'm 59 years old, and I've worked for the Lord in many different ways, and I've been in ministry, and all this time, apparently he has put within me this passion for the truth and the passion for the love, a passion for, you know, just the passion for him. And when people, like I started off, even our promos on this is, you know, in Christianity, it's Jesus, 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 Jesus. And in the Messianic lifestyle, it's Torah, 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 Torah. Where is God?
Right.
You know, and all the bickering of all the stuff. Like, you're not saying the name right. You're not doing Sabbath on the right day. You're not doing this, and you're not doing that. And you know, there's two houses. There's 14 houses. There's 737 houses. Who knows? Stop bickering about it and get to know God. Because if you really, really know God, it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Right.
You know?
Well, Daddy's big enough to correct all of us. And if we were just brothers and sisters and loved one another, we'd get a whole lot more done and let Daddy be Daddy. That's the way I look at it.
Yes. That's very true. It's exactly right. And see, that's what the deal is with me. I get overwhelmed with all that. It's like, and I think that's even from the very, very beginning. So that's what God Week's all about with me is that I'm sanctifying Lamb Radio for a week. I'm sanctifying it just to God. You know, I don't want all the other stuff in here. I don't want teaching, you know, Torah portion teachings are okay. Those need to be in there. But everything else is going to be about God, and I want it sanctified, and I don't want all the other stuff. Let's just put it aside. And it's working. It's right. I've had several producers say, can we do this again? When are we going to do that? How often are you going to keep doing this? You know, yeah. So.
Well, and the focus is him and seeking his face, and right. Because if we focus on anything else, this is where we get our little denominations and all our arguments and,
right,
you know,
that's exactly
all the things that cause us not to walk and hide with him.
100%. You know, there's been several things. On Monday night at 6 o'clock, we have a show called Setting History Straight with Linda Watson. And I love Linda. Her show is great. She teaches the history, you know, the past history and everything. She knows her stuff. I know a lot of very, you know, honorable Torah teachers with big names that teach a lot of history. I'm going to tell you, this woman knows as much or more than a lot of these people do. And it's interesting. She blew me away on Monday night. She was prepared with loads of scriptures about God. And I was like, it's like, how awesome. I mean, this is just amazing what she came up with. And kind of in the middle of it, she was talking out of most of what she was coming up with was Isaiah, which was, you know, I mean, it's just there. God is just there. You know, mm-hmm. Talking about God is just there by reading Isaiah. But she also went to John 14 and was talking about, you know, the works that we do. And she was trying to make the point of Yeshua. Yes, we know Yeshua is God. We know he's part of the Godhead. We know, we understand that. We go there. It's fine. It's good. But she was also giving several scriptures within there, or several verses that talked about, you know, Yeshua referring to God as a separate entity, which is fine to do. And of course, when somebody takes you to the middle of a paragraph or in the middle of a page or something, I'm sure you're like me, I always kind of back up a little bit to see what the context is of what we're actually talking about. And these scriptures are very well known to most everybody that's been with the Lord for years in Christianity, the Messianic lifestyle, whatever. But I backed up to verse 8 and read it real quick while she was talking, and it says, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will be enough for us. And Nitza, I broke. I just broke right in the middle of it. And I'm going, look, this is what we're talking about here, and there it is, right in front of my face. Lord, show us the Father, and it will be enough. And isn't it true? Isn't that what it's all about?
Well, amen. And how, you know, and what are some of those ways that we, you know, show the Father? You know, I'm often reminded, you know, when people like to do whatever they want to say about any of us. But like for me and my family, you know, sometimes it's like, well, you don't wear your tzitzit like this, or you don't do this, right, or whatever. Right. And all I keep coming back to is, Father, you know, are we really missing this? But it's like this. If all you have to say about us is whatever it is you want to pick on, but the one thing that my husband and I do not want to walk away from and leave you without the impression is, did we love you?
Right.
Did we do something that showed you the character of him? You know, and so that's true. Is it enough to, you know, let us see him? How do we see him? We see him through people that he's created, whether they're saved or not saved. He can show an aspect of who he is and what he is. And, of course, when you're doing good things, you are reflecting his character.
That's right. Amazing. That's exactly right. And that's really where it is we need to learn the characteristics, attributes, and personality of God, because that's who we're supposed to be. It's the fruits of the Spirit are all there, but that's what we're supposed to be. That's what God is all those fruits of the Spirit. So, all right, well, we're down to the last minutes here, Nisa.
Yeah, I don't know. I got 7 more minutes. How many you got?
we don't have another show coming on us after us tonight. So,
we do or
I'm
don't?
I'm trying to keep them in an hour, and okay. So yeah, we're down to the last few minutes. And have you enjoyed this?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love to talk about all the great things that he's ever done. You know, and it gives me hope on all the things that he will do, because if I, you know, if I look at things and look at life, it does not look real promising. So I really need to know what he, you know, and that's, you know, I did an article one time on that. It's remembrance, Zakar. That is so important. You know, he commands us to remember what he's done and what he will do. And we need that, because that's what helps us have the faith and stand and know that he exists, that he is going to come through. Even if it's unto death, he will accomplish his purpose and plan. And we need to get more militant about, we want his provision, we want his care, we want him to be Lord, but we don't want to, you know, what they call swearing fealty to the kingdom and being a soldier, an active soldier. We don't want that job. And so we're not prepared to die. We're not prepared to go to battle every day, knowing that it may take us that day. We live comfortably so that we're just peasants and serfs, but not soldiers for his kingdom.
Wow. boy, you got it in a right there. That's it. You said it exactly the way it is.
You know, Father gave that to me much more stronger at Sukkot. I got to tell you something funny. I had my PowerPoint, and I felt like Walid Shabbat went on before me. And so I went to speak. It was like, oh, I get to tweak this. These people are all primed now for what I want to teach on in a spiritual aspect of being militant. And so I had went back and defined militant and soldier from the 1828 dictionary and was trying to relate all this. And, of course, I put it on my thumb drive, and I gave it to the gentleman, the sound man, and he put it in. But when it came up on the screen, my Hebrew, my ancient Hebrew, was translated into Wingdings, and I had a time bomb.
Oh, that's great. I love it. That's good. Wow. So you made it through it.
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't mean to put a bomb up there. I didn't know it was a bomb. It was a Hebrew character that got translated to a bomb. That's anyway.
Cool. How interesting. Well, Anissa, it's going to be great to have you coming back and sharing with us all your infinite knowledge on the things you're going to talk about. And
I don't have knowledge. I just know where to go find it.
And how to relate it. That's what's most important.
We just need to go find one of his people that he shined that little light on and research it and pour it back out or have him come on and share it.
That's right. I'm with you. Well, we're definitely praying, and I'm going to put it out there to all the other prayer warriors that I know on LAM and outside of LAM, and we'll make sure that things are going good for you. I know that the Father, the Father, is going to bless you with everything that you need and desire and want. And we need you on LAM. So I really do appreciate you. I really do. I enjoy everything you do and all that your passion for the Lord and your passion to make sure that people understand the Lord and the things of the Lord and how we can survive, how we can be right and not do the wrong things and the stuff like the chemtrails and you know, the different things, the you know, what are the EMF shields and all the other stuff that you talk about is so important. It's everything that we need to know, and you stay up on it. And I don't have the time to study all that stuff out, so I enjoy having people like you that I trust to bring me those that information where I can go with it. So I do really appreciate you, and I thank God for you every day. So I do appreciate you.
Well, thank you that Father uses you to be the carpenter to put all the little stones up on the wall, because that's what LAM Radio really is all the different living stones coming together there to share, to meet with the other living stones. And you've given that avenue, because you don't know how bad it is to be a living stone that Father's given something to, and you got no place to take it.
Right. That's exactly right. Very
so,
good.
Thank
okay,
you so much
well,
for the privilege.
I guess we're going to call it a show, and you'll be on, hopefully, well, you will be on next week.
Next Thursday, whether it's by phone or Skype.
What's that? Sorry?
Next Thursday, whether it's phone or Skype.
There you go. We'll all make right. it happen. Just let me know what you got going. So,
all
God
right.
bless, Anissa. Thank you so much. And thank you for letting me share this hour with you.
Thank you.
All right. God bless. We'll see you real soon.